stretch out with your feelings.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
Welcome to the Rogue Support Podcast, where we are here for your gaming needs in regards to Star Wars Shatterpoint. We are your hosts, Dizzard and Omnis, and we're here for a good time. And we have some news for everybody. First off,
we're renaming the podcast Scandalous Scoundrels.
Is
that not the news? Scandalous Scoundrels.
I wouldn't be opposed, actually. I kind of like that. That's a good one.
I was just thinking of it as a joke as I was walking back from the store. I was like, yeah. Because we call all scandals. Of our patrons and stuff scoundrels.
Scoundrels.
And, you know, I know Rogue was kind of your podcast thing, but Rogue has too much association with the Rebels. And we're
not Rebels.
We're rebellious, but we're not Rebel scum, if you know what I'm saying.
This is not a Rebel scum podcast. If anything, it's about finding the Rebel Scum podcast.
And taking them out and punishing them for their crimes against the Empire.
Yeah. The guys over at Zion's Finest, Kenny, he's like, I really enjoyed the episode that you guys did going over the month and a half of Galactic Republic play. But I do find it hilarious that you guys stayed true to your colors and most of the episode was about Mother Maul. He's like, it was really good. Yeah. He said it was a really good episode and he enjoyed it, but he wanted to make sure that he enjoyed the fact that we stayed true to our colors too and gave our honest opinions about it.
Hey, we tried. But I do have something, spoiler alert. I have something Galactic Republic related to talk about at some point during this episode. So,
We'll and then there's also the I just want to say a big shout out to like Kenny and Zion's Finest. If you guys aren't listening to them, go ahead and give them a listen. Really enjoy their show and the stuff they talk about. They're very wholesome and just a really good, easy listen. And he always shouts out every single content creator for Shatterpoint. Aww. So I just like doing him a solid and giving him a shout out as well.
That's awesome. Okay. To be entirely honest, I have not been listening to podcasts either for MCP or for Shatterpoint for at least a few weeks. So I'm
it's busy.
I don't know. I go through cycles with it where sometimes I just want to listen to podcasts every single day. And then I'll go through weeks of I'm just not in a podcast mood. And
that's fair.
Yeah. So, well, Dizzard, what are you drinking?
I
tried to give you beer earlier and you denied me.
I drive. I was driving and I'm a good person and I don't drink.
You are but a I have, better person.
I have an Elysian full contact. I will say that's one of the best things about being up here is being able to get all these Elysian brews again, because that's been years since I've had them. So
I have not seen an Elysian Immortal in a while. And I need to find it because I'm starting to get a craving.
If I see one down here, I'll let you know. I'll grab some for you or something. Yeah. But
there has to like I probably can just walk into a BevMo or something. But that used to be an IPA that I could find everywhere. Like it was
like
one
in a
of
gas
the most
station.
Common microbrews. And now it just seems like Space Dust has kind of taken over that slot where it's really easy to find Space Dust where it used to be harder. But it's all good. It's all good. I just want to find one. I've just been having the Elysian itch, so to speak.
That's good. It's good stuff. It always has been. It's one thing that I'm glad to be back here. But I got one of those. And as far as games I've been playing lately, I've been playing my dad and trying to show him the game more. Been a bully and just playing. I played Maul Mother against him. I played the Maul, Ahsoka, all Mandos against him. I'm like, I probably shouldn't be playing these lists against you because these are literally your first two games of Shatterpoint. But you know, I can't help it. I'm just a bully, and these lists are fun. Because he played,
you're a bad person. It's okay.
He played Dooku Asajj, the first game, and then he was gonna give Grievous a go, like the Grievous Vader list. But then he played Dooku Asajj again and just swapped out some of the secondaries of Prime and supports, and it went a lot better. But I keep telling him, just play what you want, like you're learning the game, Like, there's no need to play Grievous Vader. It's okay.
Yeah. So, for the people in chat, if someone wants to guess before we get to it, because Dizzard and I just played our first game against each other in person, and if you want to guess...
2 hours ago.
It was more than 2 hours ago. We finished more than 2 hours ago.
Barely.
We were chatting for quite a while afterwards, but yes, the game wrapped up more than 2 hours ago. If you want to guess what was played, now is the time to do it. We'll waste a few more minutes of the show, but listeners, think about it in your head. Obviously, you'll pass the window to potentially get a reward, but if someone in chat wants to guess and can get guess all 12 of the characters right and who played which ones, the tip is I volunteered and said, I want to play some of this stuff because it's new and I haven't played it. Or no, new for me. It's not necessarily new, but it was just things I'd never actually put on the table. And Dizzard then was like, I'm going to play this. And I was like, all right, Dizzard wants to win.
Spoiler alert.
But all right. So while we're wasting a little bit, so you get a special shout out while we're recording, if you can guess them right. And I'll even volunteer to buy you a beer at LVO if I'm going to see you in a month. But what did you think of my terrain setup, Dizzard, since you actually got to play on terrain?
I would say I rather enjoyed it. And I guess you could tell people all the pieces that you used. You had a high ground set in there and core box stuff. Did you have anything extra
No, so that table was basically a high ground and then a bunch of extra stuff from Corset and high ground. It was, gotcha. You could, because it's the only real thing, it's got the high ground tower, right? And then it's just a bunch of the smaller pieces just combined in different. It doesn't have either of the two main buildings from the Corset. It's mostly gantries and then weird configurations of the stuff they use for that smaller piece. I forget what they call it.
It's like a tower.
Yeah. Whatever the thing is, it's not one of the two buildings, but it's the other thing that comes in both the high ground and the core set.
The things you can't fit large bases on. Those things.
Yes. That's a lot of that. But some of them I combined, like there's these two things, like I talked about in a prior episode, that's just like two of the kind of tops of those combined. And then I use ladders and like the gantry legs to kind of make a little extra piece out of it. So just kind of this square terrain piece. But yeah, it seemed like you liked playing on it and kind of liked the style of how I just had all of the ladders connected. And then we were just like,
yeah,
where the fuck is the ladder in relation to this piece? All right. Okay.
Well, for people's reference, the way the ladders are on these pieces of terrain is you'll have like on the first level to the second level. So ground level, the first level, oh my God, ground level, the second level. You have one ladder on one side of the building. And then from second to third level, you have a ladder on the other side of the building. So you can't really just go from bottom all the way to top unless you're going to climb. And I really, really like that. Where I see a lot of boards will do from the ground to the top, and it's in a way that you could hop off on the middle level too if you wanted to. So it really eliminates all decisions that you have with ladders and ingress points, where this created a whole lot of really interesting situations where we were like, well, I'm going to go up, climb up, and then ingress down this ladder to get an extra range one of
yeah them. We did that a lot. We did that a whole bunch of times throughout the game where we would literally climb up and then ingress down as a movement to gain a little bit of extra positioning.
Yeah, but
I was really glad that you liked it. Obviously, you were, you know, probably the first person that I've played against in person that has played a majority of their games on TTS, and so I was really curious how you would like the terrain and whether or not you'd end up finding it interesting.
Well, I guess my curious point to you on that is for somebody who I guess has primarily played on TTS for Shatterpoint, was there any difference that you've seen compared to like your local scene, like playstyle wise, or like, is it true? Would you say it's true by playing me in person that there is a difference of play from a TTS player to an in real life player?
No, I mean, I feel like my game against you felt like most of the games that I've played. You did bring up that one interesting rule that I didn't know about, where you can go over Darth Maul's damage, where if you deal him 6 and he has 5 health left, you can deal him 6 and potentially give him extra dice. And that was just a rule that I didn't know about. It didn't end up mattering, because even though you let me dial the damage down 1, because I had a tree option that would have just done 1 instead of 2, so I could have still wounded him. Mother did so much damage to me afterwards that it didn't matter, like, whether or not you had gotten that extra dice. But all right, well, we didn't get any correct guesses, so the funny thing was, is so Dizzard comes over and I was just like, hey, I haven't actually played Grievous or Kraken or the B2s yet. I've played against them, but I haven't played with them. And part of that was, as I was holding off, I'd played a bunch of games with Vader and I kind of wanted a break from Vader. And I felt like Grievous's thing may not work. Like, I'm just not sure Grievous is a good enough character without Vader. And so I was like, well, we've been talking a lot about Vader. Why don't I put him on the table again? And so I played Vader, Rex, Magna Guard, because also I'd been talking about how I don't really like Magna Guard without double separatist leaders. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like it would also be a good idea for me to like put that on the table and just see how I felt about it. And then your response to that was,
of course,
your response was, I'll play Mother Maul.
I mean, I came into this knowing I was playing Mother Maul and I didn't care what you were playing. Like, I had full intentions of playing Mother Maul, and if you dropped Mother Maul into me, then it would have been just a Mother Maul off, which is what apparently Accuser wanted.
or at least thought we were going to do. I was trying to make it different. I thought, as I mentioned kind of in the chat, as much as like I'm not all in on the like nerf Vader train, I will at least say that in the games that I've played locally, I have felt like the level of complaints that I got after a game were significantly different when I was playing Vader. Yeah. And people at the very least felt like it was doing something that was unintended, or doing something that was too good, or doing something that just kind of made the game less fun for the opponent. Whether that's true or not, or that's totally perception, I have no idea, but that just is the case for my experience, my personal experience. So go ahead.
I just want to comment on that too, because it's like, outside of like very specific situations, I've never played against Vader and felt like Vader controlled this game. Vader was a mistake. I truly haven't felt that way, except for very specific games. But most of the time, like this game, Vader didn't ruin the game. The game I played the other day with my dad, Vader didn't run the game. It typically was the other primary. Like, Vader does actionable stuff, but he's not the one running the game. It's typically another synergy that's going on. Like, for you, the droids and the separatist synergies were huge.
Yeah, it was really weird. And so I guess, you know, since we're kind of like, this is still Cantina, we're kind of joint talking about it. I took struggle 1, you took struggle 2, I took struggle 3. And so we just got a question. Why are you so effing hairy?
That's a good question.
Are we that hairy?
Which one's hairy? Is it me or is it you?
I don't.
Are we both hairy? Like,
yeah.
Sasquatch?
I mean, my beard's not that long at the moment. Yeah. I mean, is it a joke about your baldness?
I'm trying. Maybe. Oh, maybe
you know that you're the only baldness on the show.
You've had your head off a couple times. I don't know.
But anyway, it was interesting because you made, I made a pretty big error in struggle 2 that led to me not being able to close it out. And then you made a pretty big error in struggle 3, which kind of just locked things in for me. So I guess I'm Corey Taylor?
I guess you're
who,
Corey Taylor.
I don't know who Corey Taylor is.
It's lead singer of Slipknot, which I don't really... well, I don't see that, but other way.
Are you the lead singer of Slipknot then?
Apparently, and you, I don't, the guy from Led Zeppelin? No, Corey Taylor is Slipknot.
Led Zeppelin?
I don't, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, right.
Is that getting holes recently?
I
don't understand any of this.
I am only moderately confused. So the weird thing about our game was, and we're going to kind of get to this point, but there was this one spot that I set up the table, and there was this one spot that ended up being really advantageous for Dizzard, which was kind of how, like, there was one spot where Grievous and my B2s couldn't stand. And then we also realized if one of our characters stood in the middle, it would block out both. And so there was a point where you put Darth Maul, like he repositioned up there so that Grievous couldn't melee attack him because there was no spot for him to stand within range two. And there was other times where we both used that spot throughout the game to kind of manipulate scoring. And that was really interesting and not something that I had predicted.
It worked out really well. Like you said, like Maul was there, and I was like, well, you got Grievous over here who can't get up here to hit me. And no way to really find someone to push me off because my back is against the beam. That I think that beam is what made that spot really, really good. It's because you could contest and not be shoved off by anybody. And it was rather annoying trying to get anybody who was up there.
Yeah, it actually ended up where the first Grievous activation and the first Vader activation were both ranged attacks.
Yeah. But it's like, I need to do something about the person sitting here, but I can't hit them. I want to hit them.
Yeah. It ended up where I think I only used Vader's signature ability three times over the course of the game. And then one of those was irrelevant and one of them was a mistake.
Yeah, and I only used Mind Trick twice.
You used Mind Trick once. Or
yeah, twice.
No,
twice.
You used Mind Trick once.
But there's there's two situations that came up, and I probably should have done it on the first one, and I did it on the second situation. Something like that where it was...
Yeah, and it's hard because I actually think... You probably shouldn't. I know you went back and you were like, so there was this opportunity for you to mind trick a 8 dice attack from the B2s.
Yeah.
And you elected to not do it. It would have been losing 2 force really early. It was my first activation of struggle 1. And you elected to not do it. And I rolled a lot of crits.
Yeah, like it was like after everything, it was 6 successes or something like that. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like,
it was 6 damage. It wasn't 6 successes.
Oh, yeah, 6. Yeah, six, yeah, that's what it was. 6.
I ended up dealing 6 damage. My dice roll was like all crits and failures. I think there was no expertise and no normal hits. It was just crits and failures.
Well, this was also, you said, your first time using the B2s. Like, I haven't seen the B2s a whole lot, but I always hear people like Zion's Finest say the B2s are great. And I'm like, how? Because I remember playing them when they first came out and thinking these guys are trash. But like, I feel like they did a majority of the work for your supports. The magnet kind of runs off in a corner because they got luck of the draw. But
I think how the game played out, like my magnet guard didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, they still mattered. There was a point where I had reserved them, and then I waited until I'd activated Grievous, or it was Grievous or Kraken or someone. But I got them a little further up the table. I think it was Grievous, and then that allowed them to walk, like to hunker and then walk and go up a ladder and then like take a point from from Jango. Mm-hmm. So they took a point, and then later on they moved because of Grievous, I think, again.
Yeah.
And they helped me take another point. But they never made an attack. They only got attacked once. Magna Guard were not super impactful overall. The big winners for me was the B2s did a lot of work. They were an early activation. I actually shatterpointed them with the first activation, if I recall.
Because you drew Shatterpoint in fact, at the very beginning of the game.
Yeah, I drew Shatterpoint first card, and I thought I had a good play with them, and I liked it. They got fairly beaten up, and I activated them a second time pretty early on, and then they got wounded. They never actually activated again, but between Kraken and Grievous, they just did a lot of work kind of throughout the game. And so, yeah, the B2s did a really good job. And then Rex came in super clutch for me. And he, we'll kind of talk about it when we get to the main topic, but he went from his deployment position to taking a objective on your side of the board to end struggle one. And so, yeah, Rex was, and that was all he did the whole game. He never activated again. But he, I mean, that was just something that I basically no other character was really going to be able to do, except maybe Maul can do that. Could have done something very similar. Maybe not 100% guaranteed. I will say that after the game, I think I may be underplaying Grievous's ability to play without Vader. I think it's Appetite of Destruction is the one that lets the other character activate.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, Appetite.
Yeah, I think with that, the fact that he can't kill someone by himself may not actually be that big of a deal.
Because he's bringing someone else in to do it. The fact that the B2s just do damage on expertise, which that was so... I'd block everything and you'd still punch through 2-3 damage. And I'm just like, what the heck is happening here?
And so, yeah, I do think that there's probably a list design where, and maybe that'll be one of the next things that I test, is maybe I do test Grievous without Vader.
Yeah.
And see how that all functions, because I also used Appetite of Destruction multiple times just for movement.
Yeah.
And I really
It became a very big scenario control piece where you're like, well, I'm going to move this guy back over here. And then I'm like, well, I was supposed to get that point.
Yeah, well, when Grievous activates, right, and he moves a droid, and then he moves and then moves a Magna and then shoots somebody, right, and then, like, then gets Appetite for Destruction and moves another droid. It is just a lot of movement in general for him. So yeah, I would say my overall opinion of Grievous improved. Let's talk about our two mistakes real quick. And so mine is I probably had a point to go nearly back to back, like take struggle one, take struggle two. And there was a chance where I was going to score all 3 points and score 4 points and probably put it out of range for you to take back struggle two. And what ended up happening is Vader wounds Maul, Maul and Mother wound Vader, and I don't score. Yes.
That's great.
So in my head, I was thinking all about the Mother counterattack, right? I was like, I'm going to save my movement so I can just walk back onto the point. And I had a bunch of plans for that, but I totally forgot about Maul's, even though we talked about it earlier in the game. Yeah. The thing for me has been when I play Maul, I never get to use his counterattack. He's always pinned or he's always, like killed by a ranged attack. It seems like one of the two is always the case, or he just doesn't get attacked because people aren't willing to fuck with him and they're focusing on the supports or whatever. And so it has just felt like I rarely ever get to use that attack. And I forgot about it completely. And so the fact that he got to hit Vader, soften up Vader enough that Mother was able to finish him off, that really fucked with my whole ability to do, to like take control of struggle two. Do you want to talk about what happened with you in struggle three?
Well, I think I have two big mistakes actually. The first one is when I thought I could contest a upside objective and hit Grievous and trigger the manipulating hand. I should have pre-measured a little bit better because then I wouldn't have flipped sides. And then the fact that I had flip side to get the free manipulating hand screwed me over for like the next probably like 45 minutes of the game, because every trigger mother had, like, I really wish I had the shove.
I disagree with you, because that free manipulating hand stopped Grievous, because Grievous got the he got the free movement off of his expertise. And if you had not manipulating handed him, he was going to take an objective from you and stop you from scoring.
That's true. Yeah. And then
I don't think was bad.
There was just so much though where I was just like, man, I really wish I was on the other side. And like, I normally always stay on Great Mother's side. It's very rarely I go to Wrath, but it's like I was getting low on force and I wanted it for free. But like, the shoves on Great Mother's side are just so good. And there were so many times where I got the trigger. It's like, oh, I don't get any shoves. Like, I can't stop you from taking this point. But actually, most of the time, I ended up killing you anyways with the attack back.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, after you switched to that, like, her attacks were just killing people. So it didn't really matter that you couldn't shove me.
She definitely got wrathful.
Well, it's just you were attacking stuff like Grievous, who just has, like, no defenses. He just dies.
Yeah. And then she got my tree.
I will say, before we get to the main mistake that you made, I think you probably should have reserved Mother, because you got Mother as your first activation.
Yeah.
And I think the right play would have been to reserve her. And put.
I mean, you're not wrong. And I tell people all the time whenever I talk to them about Mother Maul, like, you don't want Mother first. Or if you get Shatterpoint, Shatterpointing her first isn't bad, because of the fact you're not having to reserve. And then you can go ahead and set it up. You play more cagey than I was. I played a little really aggressive with Mother, and I shouldn't have done that.
I didn't feel like you were aggressive with her. I just think you gained nothing by activating her first.
And you still had to
reserve at a certain point, and she would have been a much better second activation.
And the fact is, if Mother's in reserve, like, you're going to play her when you need her the most. And then you'll be able to, like, basically manufacture. That's the best part about putting something in reserve, is you're like, okay, now I need this card. I can agree with that. I think that might have been the very first mistake. It's actually going with Mother, because then a lot of things wouldn't have happened. But the primary mistake is I got completely spaced out. Forgot that the Night Sister's literally just wounded. Just wounded.
Grievous had just. We had this whole conversation where it was like, do I kill Django or do I kill the Night Sisters? And I had to kill someone. And the odds of killing the Night Sisters were so much better.
Yeah. So he kills them, and then I go with Maul, and I'm like, if I go Maul and I do this and I do this and this, then I can pull this guy off of here and do this whole chain reaction thing. And all I got to do is get 3 successes for this to work. No, four. It was 4 successes. 4, because I needed the double shove. So go and start doing all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I guess I at least score 1. And Ominous is like, what are you talking about? Like, my sisters are wounded. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I made this whole plan around these things being alive and then completely spaced on the fact that they literally just got wounded.
Yeah, you had this crazy Maul activation where, like, in the perfect scenario is the kind of activation that could win a game, right? Yep. But you ended up moving on to a point which had 2 people on it. Mm-hmm. And you had 1 person on it, so now it was 2-2. So you would have to wound someone for it to change things, and you pulled someone else off of a point, but you had nobody else contesting that point because I
pulled them to the wrong position because I made them not in range of where Maul was going to be, and I just loosey-goosey'd Maul's placement instead of like actually measuring out a placement for him. I was like, yeah, he'll be fine here. Which you think I would know this by now, just to actually measure where I want a person to be.
When you were talking about it earlier in the activation, where you were like, you pulled them off, I thought you were going to like stay on your janky side, right? And you were going to reposition Maul onto the point.
Oh, I should have done that, absolutely.
Right, and then you switch to Rage and attack Grievous.
Yeah.
And I was like, what just happened?
Well, what's funny is if I had reached 1 more success, it would have gotten me the double shove, which would have gotten me the middle back. And then I would have gotten at least another turn to try to fight. But no, because of me being silly and switching sides and pulling a Magna Guard to a spot where I couldn't actually hit him where I needed to hit him, and all this combined stuff of me losing my mind really just like, well, that's game. that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, it may just have been like you were just maybe like trying to go for too much jank.
I got greedy. Yeah.
But yeah, at least it made me feel better because I thought my mistake, because really what I should have done, because I'd still Vader's Furied and I was saving my move action.
Yeah.
I should just dash away from Darth Maul, throw the lightsaber at you, and then I only have to deal 5 damage and I would deal 2 automatically. I wouldn't be able to use the leadership or the signature, which is fine. But if I had remembered that you had the counterattack, then I just Vader's Fury away from you, throw the thing, you know, like blah, 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 take some damage. And then probably push you off the point anyway. Like even if I don't get the wound, which is fine, but probably still wound you. And then Mother still shoots at me, but I would have a movement to move back onto the point. And so I felt real bad when I whiffed that. I basically like Vader just takes 13 damage during his own activation.
Yep. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
I miss making Maul.
Like, I'm back in this baby.
I miss making Maul counterattacks. So Victoria got me a Star Wars Funko Pop calendar, and this is one of the themes is a snowman Darth Maul.
That's adorable.
Yeah, I love the scene. He's got carrots on his horns. But I guess we can get into the main topic now, I think. What do you think?
So we have a Chamber of Judgment.
Yeah.
So because it came up multiple times in our game, we were talking about this one spot, right, where Grievous and the B1s could not stand, and only one character could stand on the point, and it ended up being super impactful. There wasn't an objective directly on it, but it did contest an objective that was one elevation higher. And that spot ended up mattering a ton throughout the game. It changed so many things. And we wanted to talk about that mechanic, like that terrain possibility, where it's one that's like, spots to contest objectives where you can't get melee attacked because nobody else can stand there. And it really emphasizes the strength of characters like Jango and Maul who can pull people off of the point, like pull you towards, because you also couldn't be pushed off of it because there was parts of the kind of beam that goes up to the next level. Yeah. What do you think about, like, obviously I feel like it helped you a little bit more than it helped me throughout the game. But do you think that's a good thing for a table to have? Do you think that's a good kind of mechanic to kind of exist in the game? Because it's very different, right, than a lot of our, like, say, MCP experience or even War Machine experience. Like, there's this really small section of the table that it almost makes it kind of weird for you to interact.
Yeah. I think it's important, but I also think it's important not to put too much of it. Because if I have like 50% of my terrain, a whole group of models can't even stand on this thing. That feels really bad for that player. But like having like onesies and twosies here and there, I think it's great. I think it creates decision points, and a game like this isn't a game without decision points. That's what makes it fun. It makes you feel good about what you're doing. So I really enjoyed the piece of terrain that was there. Like, I want to make one myself because I really liked how it was. And what is it? It's three of those little tower things, but there's one that's like bridging them. It's really cool. You have to put a picture up in the Discord for people to see, but I really love that piece, and it creates that piece itself created a lot of interesting interactions because not on elevation was more important than on elevation most of the time, because on elevation, I'll just shove you off and I'll take it anyways. But the not elevation is like, you can't do anything about me here. And plus, the B2s are body blocking the top level, but they're wounded, so they're not doing anything. And I think that's why it became so important, because the B2s were wounded up there for so long.
Well, thankfully, Grievous being able to like walk, he shot at Maul, even though he's like right next to Maul. He's like, their bases are basically touching, but Maul's one of elevation up. And so he shoots at Maul. And then because he shoots at him, then the B2s or like one of them gets to move and shoot. So I get like a little, I think only did like one or two damage with the shot, but it allowed me to move the B2 to a slightly better position that allowed Grievous to then scale up and land on the piece of terrain to score me so that I had someone at the actual level, which was just really interesting how much Grievous can reposition his own guys to like help him. Like until I was playing him, it never fully clicked for me just how much Appetite for Destruction can just be used for movement. Just like, just the fact that he can position his own droids to make it difficult for you to stand there. And then he activates and repositions them so that he can fit, even though his ass is bigger. You know, it was interesting. I certainly liked the challenge of it. I do think it emphasizes why the two best characters in the game are the best characters in the game. And this is going to lead to my addressing the Council. Wild Omnis.
Okay.
Darth Maul is the best character in Shatterpoint. Yes or no?
That's not fair, because I've said that since day one. Like, I have said there will come a point where people start saying Maul is the best primary in the game. And I still think that. I still think Maul is hands down the best primary in the game.
That's why I said it would be very weird if you said no. Yeah, but I really think I don't think I agreed with that statement until the new struggle pack released.
Yeah.
And I think the new struggle pack really emphasizes that. I mean, I know we're not going to like get deep into like the Vader argument right now, but I legitimately think Darth Maul, like I almost feel like any team that's not running Darth Maul is just not as good as a team running Darth Maul.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's because you have people, like you said, like it's that statement, but Vader instead of Maul. And I 100% think the opposite, where if you're not running Vader in a premier list, if you're playing competitive, you might be wrong right now in the current state of the game.
Maul is just, it's kind of like, now I'm just not going to do it. I've been the guy who's been like, let's not just like make references to MCP. And so even though I have one, I'm just not going to do it. And if you are an MCP player and you want to know what my reference was, just message me and I will tell you what it was. Okay. So are we ready to go into the main topic?
Yeah, let's go ahead before I try to take this down farther than it already is.
Do you want to introduce the topic or do you want me to?
Well, I can do it. Basically, we wanted to talk about Sabotage Showdown because that's what we played, and talk about what we think of it, thoughts on it.
I'm how Omnis, y'all, it's a sabotage.
how these Omnis boys thinks I'm wrong that I think Mother Maul is good at it, and I think I might be agreeing more after this game. I think it's Vader Maul that wants that mission. I think I stand by.
If I'm going to play Vader, I think the best Vader list is Vader Maul. Mm-hmm. And I think Vader Maul is very good at Sabotage Showdown.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And I think Mother Maul would rather play on the OG one that has more points.
I think it's easier for Mother to bounce between locations. For a while, I thought it was easier for her to bounce between that one, but I felt stuck in a lot of the game today where I haven't really felt that in the past. I just don't know if it's just a coincidence, but like this game alone, I feel like Mother really doesn't.
I've played a little bit of Mother, right? Yeah. Like I tried to not give you easy Mother plays, but at the same time, you still had them. Like she's just really good.
She makes something out of nothing in almost every game, which is why I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very strong. I have some characters on the top of my head that I think are some of the best characters at Sabotage Showdown. Before I go into them, what do you think? Like if you were going, okay, I want to design a strike team for Sabotage Showdown, Who comes to your mind as like the key characters that you would want to play?
When I say two, because I know they're going to steal them from your list. That's fine. I think number one, Maul. He's got a range attack. He's got mobility. He can dance between the points so incredibly well. He could be off in the middle of left field in between struggles and then still be relevant, like his next activation. And that's why I love him here. Second one, because of this game alone, Rex. He does the exact same thing as Maul as far as the mobility is concerned, to where he went from deployment all the way across to one of my points that I wasn't expecting him to reach. And I forgot how mobile Rex can be. And it was really, really cool to see that. So I would say mobility and versatility in characters. So I think that's very much Rex, because Rex can be very good at range and he can be very good at melee. He's got really good shoves and he's got pretty decent defenses and he has a shit ton of mobility. Then same thing goes for Maul. We all know Maul, why I love Maul. But like, characters like that excel at Sabotage Showdown, in my personal opinion, and I think you agree with me on that.
Yeah, those two characters were the first two on my list as well.
Yes.
If I was building and I was going to go, okay, I want to play Sabotage Showdown, I would absolutely start my my team composition with Vader and Rex. Or sorry, with Maul and Rex. It certainly could include Vader. I was thinking about other characters, and as much as we kind of talked about, like, say, Gar Saxon being potentially very good at it, he doesn't naturally get across.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to have two points, like, to have two characters start on the objective. And so even if he pushes one off and then gets himself to the point, it's not enough to change scoring.
Yeah.
And so,
but Jango.
Jango is obviously a character who can like walk, focus, pull, jump, and so I do think Jango is also very good in the situation that we're talking about, and so. I do think there's a very real possibility of you going like Maul, Jango, Rex as kind of your core. Is there another character that could take the Jango spot? I'm not sure. I haven't thought it through enough to be like, oh, I think this character is better than Jango. The character that I was thinking of, and like, I still think Vader is good. And I think the fact that Vader does have a ranged attack does make him one of the better characters at the crisis. And so I think he probably makes the top five. But one of the things I was thinking about was because of how easy it is to go even in Sabotage Showdown compared to the original one, I really do think that Anakin may be a hidden gem for Sabotage Showdown. Because he's one of the very few characters in the game who can score like actually move your token, not just move like lower the amount that you need to score, not just shift the momentum, but he can actually score you points by wounding characters, and he's really good at it.
Yeah.
And when you end up in a situation like in Struggle One, where they have to, like, you can, like, you might actually position him a little bit more directly across from the middle objective rather than potentially put him right behind the one that's in front of your deployment, so that he's really like threatening that one spot. It's not something that I've had a chance to explore this concept in depth, but it's just something I was thinking about. What do you think about that? Like, what do you think about Anakin potentially being a really good character for Sabotage Showdown?
I think I agree, because I think I still stand by. I think Sabotage Showdown is more favored to like an aggressive team, and Anakin leans to a more aggressive team. Maul leads to a more aggressive team. Jango can be both ways. Rex can be both ways. But these characters are all mobile. Anakin adds that score benefit to you. I like the pick for Anakin there, and I'd be hard pressed to really put anyone on this list that I'd be like, yeah, that character is like one I would want absolutely. Because right here, you already got what, 3/4 of a strike team. Now you just need your supports, and it's very much like I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you could just go like, and I don't actually think that, like, I know we're just listing characters right now, but I do not think that it would be weird to be like, okay, we're going to do Maul and Jango, and then Anakin and Rex, and then pick your supports, right? And it probably fills out from there, right? You're like, okay, yeah. I will do, you know, I'll do ARFs, and then pick, you know, and then pick a, you know, do you want Mandos? Do you want a Fifth Brother? Do you want
Bounty Hunters because they're badass?
Yeah, do you want Bounty Hunters? I think you have plenty of, you have plenty of options for those other slots. And I think that's some territory that, you know, us as MCP players, we're really used to this concept of building around what the scenario is going to be. And that hasn't really existed in a huge way in Shatterpoint. And now there are two of them. And now there's going to, we're going to start seeing that a little bit more as people are like, hey, I could build this team that's really good at Sabotage Showdown.
Yeah. But so then it comes to the question, though, of if I'm building a list, do I bring Sabotage or Shifting Priorities? And then can my team play both of these? Because if I'm relying on Anakin, because I think he's really good at Sabotage Showdown, but we know that he's not that great at Shifting Priorities, maybe I want to slot Vader in that other side, because now I know that team can excel on both Shifting Priorities and Sabotage Showdown.
I mean, I don't really think it's a weird, you know, it's not like we're breaking new ground to be like, hey,
no,
why don't
you heard it here first.
Why don't you play Vader and Maul together with Jango and Rex?
You heard it here first. Make sure you let everybody
Never
know that
been
Rogue
done
said
before.
It first.
Go win a TTS league with our advice, because nobody is in. This is brand
Nobody's
new.
Done it.
Nobody stumbled onto this shit yet. This is secret, scandalous scoundrel.
But I do think that, like, the coolest thing that I love about these missions is it's going to start opening up roster construction or squad construction, whatever you want to call it, a whole lot more, because now I'm gonna have to be thinking about, does my list just lose at Sabotage Showdown? Because you were talking the past couple of weeks where you didn't like Sabotage Showdown when you were playing Galactic Republic. You were like, this hurts, and it felt slow.
Be honest, like, still don't like it.
So my question to you, though, is, like, with this game, did it feel slow like the games you were playing before, or did it feel rather comparable to Shifting Priorities?
It wasn't as slow as the first game that I played on it. And a little bit of that is having a little bit more experience with it. And your mistake of not activating, you know, not reserving Mother right away, I think helped shift things in my favor. But with all of that said, I still feel like it's less decision points than the what's the first one called? What's the
Shifting Priorities?
Shifting Priorities. Yeah, I always forget it. Shifting Priorities, I just find so extremely interesting. It just, like, it ticks, it just makes the clockwork gears, right, turn for me, where you're just like, okay, I just always feel like I have more options. Mm-hmm. Where with Sabotage Showdown, I feel like you have to, like, you just have to have characters that are good in these situations. And the point that I want to make that's kind of counters to the point that you were making earlier, where I don't want to put words into your mouth, but roughly what I'm saying is I think that the existence of Sabotage Showdown shrinks the competitive field. I think the need to play like Darth Maul and Jango goes just goes up.
They're
already kind of the best characters, and Sabotage Showdown just emphasizes that more and separates the best from the rest in a more significant way, where I feel like less of the models that are released are feel good at Sabotage than Shifting Priorities. And
I
can see,
yeah, I agree with that.
But I will say, like, Sabotage Showdown does feel closer in general. Like, it feels harder to blow out. But I feel like with its existence, as soon as people, like, were really planning and going, I need to play stuff for this, I think it just really emphasizes the, like, you're always playing Maul and Django. And I know that's probably not what people want to hear, but that's how I feel about it. This makes me go, I want to play Maul and Django in every strike team all the time, because if I have to play on this, I do not want to be trapped in characters who are not as good at Sabotage Showdown.
That's true.
I say that having just won a game on Sabotage Showdown, playing neither Maul or Django.
That's true. But to be fair, you know, I made a pretty fatal error.
Yeah, I got you super drunk before you were playing too, and so you weren't in your right mind.
I was so gone, and I let you win because I felt so bad because I haven't lost a game in a while. That was really nice of you to cater to my personal ego. Just humble myself a little bit, you know.
I will admit, the whole time I told your wife, Victoria, I was like, I know I'm winning, but the whole time I'm playing this game, I wish I was playing his list.
Well, we talked about that too, and that was what I found interesting and why I love Mother Maul so much, is there's so many decisions to make, there's so much fun to be had with that list, and there's so many cool things that you can do and pull off. Yet, your list was like doing really good. It was dominating the board, but it was just like, I go here, I do this thing. I go here, I do this thing. But like Mother and Maul, I'm like, and Maul's going to go hippity hoppity over here, and you're like, yeah, and he goes, choom, choom, jam, choom, jam. And then it's like, and Grievous goes over here and shoots Maul. they're just so much fun to play. Like,
well, I will say that the droid interactions, where like how often they get to move other droids, does tick boxes for me, right? Like, let's not like blow past that. Like, I don't like separatist droids as like an aesthetic concept. But the idea that I can have a character who activates and then potentially moves like three other characters during their activation, not the enemies, that's without attacking. I move like three other characters.
Yeah.
That definitely ticks boxes for me. And that's what makes me think that like maybe there's a thing where I need to explore non-Vader Grievous lists and see how I feel about it and see if my instinct, because like when I first kind of read his card and the first time he was played against me, he felt like a character who wants to murder stuff but isn't quite good enough at it.
Yeah.
And then Vader makes him just good enough at it that his whole shtick kind of starts working. Kind of in the same way that I whiffed on Maul in the early days when we were first talking about our thoughts of like the Corset characters, I started off trying to play Maul in Dark Rage and just like pure murder, right? And it didn't work. And it's what led me to my incorrect thought process on him. And maybe that's also true for Grievous, where maybe you stay on his shooty side and you just push people and then activate other droids and move all of your and play him a little bit more like a general. And like, I feel like I'm getting caught in the same trap where I feel like a character is designed for murder. And so I think about how they work in that role. And then I'm like, that's bad. And what it probably is they're probably designed as this interesting tech piece, and AMG is smart enough to be like, some people just want to roll dice. Let's give him a dice roll side, right? And that's kind of what Maul and Grievous both have. And to a certain extent, maybe you just don't do it that much.
Maybe you just do the fun side. I was just like thinking like throughout the game too, I was actually comparing Grievous to Mother in my head. But he's more proactive on his turn, where she's like always
going to do
something.
She does it during the opponent's activation. Yeah. He does, but it's like it's all the stuff during his.
Yeah, but it's like if you think about it, he's the way you were playing him, and the way it looked really good was as more of a control piece, more so than a let me kill everything piece, and it worked really well for what you were doing. Like, I mean, you won. But it also limited what I was able to do with Mother by playing Grievous that way. So I would say people who are saying like, Mother Maul is stopping my Grievous plans and I really want to play Grievous, try doing the control shtick and being on the gun side and doing the shoves and making your droids go everywhere and going back to that instead of the Vader Grievous, like Amos is talking about. Like, maybe that's
what you need to do, because that'll tone Mother back down too, because she's less effective if your stuff isn't dying as much.
Well, also, so what's really interesting about it is that he gets 7 dice, range 5.
It's
so
stupid.
He's up there with some of the best range attackers in the game.
Yeah.
He's got a push on 1 success and then a pin on number 2. And then he can jump on number 3. So it's just a lot of movement options. But then what's also really interesting is that if he rolls any expertise at all, he's getting a dash or a reposition.
Yeah, that's so huge. And that's so good.
So if you like push him off of something, you afterwards he if you don't wound him, he just moves back on.
Yeah. It's good.
It's reverse Mother in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like what I find super interesting, because I never really made that connection before, even playing him, because most people just like, I'm gonna kill stuff with Grievous. But I'm honestly more scared of this control side of Grievous, that I'd be afraid of this taking off and being more widely talked about and played than Vader Grievous kill everything. I think control Grievous is scarier, because he's not the best defensively. But man, like he could be a pain in the ass to take down. I got lucky with a lot of my stuff to take him down.
I mean, his name is General Grievous for a reason.
Yeah.
And it is weird on a certain extent where you're like, well, maybe this version of Grievous where I just shoot people all the time, which feels not very Grievous on a certain extent.
No, not quite.
But he still ticks a lot of boxes, right? He gives you a free movement for somebody. And just the fact, like, it didn't occur to me until we were playing, and I didn't plan to play Grievous as this shooty control piece. You put me in that position. You were like, I am making it so you cannot attack my characters because they're all already wounded or they're standing in a spot where you can't melee them. You made me think this way. And I'm like, I guess I do shooty stuff with Grievous. And then it was like, oh my God, Appetite for Destruction fucking triggers off ranged attacks too. So it was just like, as long as he makes an attack against someone and there's a droid within range 3, he gets another movement.
Yeah. Oh,
it's real good. As soon as that started clicking for me, I was like, okay, maybe Grievous is a lot better than I was giving him credit for. I also think this is kind of, it comes back to what we were talking about with Galactic Republic in the prior episode, where I do like, this is part of why Vader, Grievous, Maul all work. They and Mother, they all are melee and ranged. Whereas Galactic Republic is pretty heavily trapped into mostly characters who only do melee. And you think about it, like if I had been playing Galactic Republic primaries on that side, like I would have been kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Because none of them could have pulled Maul off. None of them could have made range attacks. Like,
he would have just been up there scoring points and you couldn't do anything about it. Like,
obviously it would have been like a totally different game, but I, as much as we are playing a melee focused game, I think people are currently underrating just how good it is to at least have ranged attacks as an option.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they have really fucking good triggers.
That's true. Which Grievous does.
Did you have any other Sabotage Showdown tips that you wanted to get in?
No, mostly just gameplay tips. So make sure you're paying attention to where you're putting stuff, because it could make or break your game at the very end. Making sure you realize stuff is alive or dead and not just think that they're alive because they haven't. Because my issue with it, because it was the Night Sisters, and most of the time they die super early in the game and then they don't get touched ever again. So I'm used to them being alive and having to pay like a force for coordinated.
Which was the opposite in our game, where they activated very late in Struggle 1.
Yeah.
And then I didn't wound them until basically right before the game ended.
Yeah. So that's got in my head a little bit. It's like, this isn't the table I'm used to, but no, I think that's really it, is play it, have fun with it. And, Maul Vader, it might be the new thing.
You heard it here first.
New thing.
The new thing. The new thing.
I mean,
everyone go say hi to Morgan Reed for us.
I do think that exploring Maul Anakin has a lot of grounds. Could still be really good, and so I don't want this to be like, hey, everybody, play Vader. But yeah, so I know there's definitely going to be some comments of like, oh, Omnus just played Vader Grievous. But honestly, I've been holding off playing this. I figured if I can throw it at anyone, let me throw it at Dizzard, who has a lot of game experience, as opposed to my newbies in the game store or something.
Well, the again, and I feel like I was in a position to take it back, and then I made a real fatal error, and it really hurt.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, it did take my fatal error to put you into that position.
That's true. That is true.
No game is played perfectly.
No. But I do think, though, like, I don't think Vader Grievous is... I'm honestly more scared to see, like, Maul across the table than Vader or Grievous, and I will stand by that. Like, Maul just does so much on his turns.
So, I have kind of a weird thought for you in this moment. Okay. Maybe this isn't addressing the council, but you in the game, there was a turn mm-hmm. where you did not Jedi mind trick with Obi.
Mm-hmm.
There was another turn where you did, mm-hmm. and it cost you 2 force, and you were specifically out of force for kind of a potentially important activations. My potential hot take / addressing the council is, what if you were playing the exact same list, but you just switched Obi for Rex? I know you're playing nothing else Galactic Republic.
I was going to say Gar, because I used to run Gar in that slot and I really loved it. And I like Gar more than Bo when there's not that many Mandos up, to be completely honest, because he's just a good solo piece. But Rex is good too, because he does essentially the same thing and he's more self-sufficient. Gar still wants Mandos to trigger off of where Rex doesn't.
I think if you wanted to run Gar, which I don't think is a bad idea, I think you do Gar and the Super Commandos. Yeah. And I think you drop the Acolytes.
I would agree. I think if I was to... I think I do like the idea of Maul, Gar, and Supes, and then Anakin, Rex, and Arf. Or Jango for Rex. Either or, don't really matter. I like Jango a lot.
I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah, you were running the Bounty Hunters with... Yeah. I still like Jango Bounty Hunters with Mother. So maybe that's your three. So you would have one more thing to build out.
Yeah.
Right. Where you do.
That's new Vader box, Vader 2 box. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Actually, you can't do that with Anakin. Damn it.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that with Anakin. I don't know what your other one would be.
I'd probably just go Ahsoka, because she's fun. I like Ahsoka. So.
Yeah, Ahsoka and Bo-Katan and Clay Kreese.
Because that'll still pair really, really well with the Maul set. Like, that's... I played it the other day, and I was like, man, I miss playing Maul, Ahsoka, all Mandos. This list is so much fun. And I felt bad, because I was playing against my dad. It's the second game of Shatterpoint ever. And I'm just, like, jumping all over the board and just pew, pew, pew. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have played this list into you. This is a really, really good list, and I love playing this list. So there's no bars held right now.
I want to look at Ahsoka real quick before we're closing out this episode. You keep talking for a second. The people who are watching can see that. I want to look at Ahsoka's card. I'm just contemplating how she, like, her stuff works on Sabotage Showdown, because she is fast.
Her issue is going to be when people pin her, and pin's so big still. Like, that's
she doesn't have a range attack.
No.
Yeah, she just doesn't do. She doesn't do quite as much. You kind of would have to reserve her, but once Fierce Protector triggers, so you have to just be willing to reserve her, and I think her shtick starts working.
Yeah, because then she's still gonna be bouncing around to points and be good, and then she's also good on Sabbath, but shifting priorities still. And like we all know, Ahsoka, Maul, all Mandos is solid. So.
Yeah, I dig it. I mean, she could work with Vader too. She's got a tree where you can go push, double replenish, push.
push.
Yeah. Interesting. Just a thought. I would love to get her on the table again.
I wanna play a premiere event. I really do. I haven't played one yet.
Maybe we organize something, or get a couple other local players or something, even if we do like a little like three round robin thing on like a Saturday. Yeah. Do a premiere test, and
I've heard it's gotta be four rounds. I've heard if you do premiere with three rounds, it sucks. It doesn't feel as good.
Well, I mean, I think three rounds can still force you to play everything, which can at least like get some of that testing underway to figure out, you know, how would you adjust other things before there's an actual premiere event. It might teach you the kind of key things.
True. Yeah, I don't hate that at all.
All right. Well, are we hitting wrap up mode? Are we?
I think we are. I think we can say the most Star Wars thing that you could do is play some Sabotage Showdown. Say that you were the first ones to say Maul and Vader is a thing, and throw it down everybody's throat. Yeah.
Facts.
Facts.
Later, nerds.